that people are drawn to. They want to experience something bigger than themselves. You know, the concerts these days are getting bigger and more fantastic, with big light shows, and people swarm to those kind of events too, don't they? People also get excited about the latest products. You know, Pastor Michael just went and bought a Garmin this week, and I got a bit excited about that. But you know, there's a few Garmin fans I can know. The new Apple products. We get drawn into things that seem bigger, make life more exciting, that draw out something that we don't normally see or experience. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and around the church, around the world today, they're all hearing that same reading from Matthew 17. I'll just read the first couple of verses again. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. How absolutely amazing, flabbergasted, I don't know, what's one of those big excited words? I don't know. What? How do you get excited? How do you express it? Awesome, fantastic, unbelievable. Jesus Christ, the carpenter's son, who'd been walking around, who'd hung out with fishermen and tax collectors, who got down in the dirt, was now up on a mountaintop and was transfigured in all his glory before three of his disciples. I long for those kind of experiences. You know, often I in my prayers, I'm like, Jesus, I just want to hang out with you. I'd just love to be one of your disciples on the road with you, just learning from you, being beside him, hearing his teaching, seeing him do healings on people, walking on water. How amazing would that be, just to hang out with Jesus every day? But then to go up on that mountain with him and see him in his divinity, everything stripped back to show the glory of God shining through him. I think of all the, you know, if you could hop in the time machine and get to any point in time, maybe that would be it, to be transplanted, put into that place where God's glory was revealed in Jesus Christ. The disciples had been on a journey with Jesus, hadn't they? You know, they had come to follow him. I think that call out of their normal life just to follow him would have been pretty amazing. But they had seen all these wonderful things that Jesus had been doing: healing, walking on water, calming storms, casting out demons. And yet that wasn't all that was installed for them. They had come to a point just before this reading where Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He had said that, and Jesus praised him for that. He said, "Upon this rock I will build the church." They had come to a stage where they knew Jesus, and they knew he was the Messiah, but God wanted them to experience this Messiah in his fullness. So, up on the mountain, which is a reflection of what happened to Moses going up on Mount Sinai after 6 days of God's glory covering Mount Sinai, he was called up by God to receive the law. So isn't it interesting that Jesus goes up and in his glory, he's there, and who else is there with him? Moses and Elijah. You know, meeting famous people was always a highlight of my photography experience. You know, I met people like Beyonce and Dido and all the, what do we call them? Who rules our country? Prime ministers, that's right. They weren't that exciting. But imagine, you know, meeting one of your heroes of the faith But they're actually giving glory and giving their attention to someone bigger than themselves. That's what was going up on the Mount. Moses, who had been one of the pin-up boys, I guess, of the Israelites, one of the leaders that they all looked up to, and Elijah, like the prophet of prophets, was there giving the glory to Jesus, talking with him, giving their focus to him because he was the Son of God, the Messiah, God incarnate for us. Why did the disciples have to have this mountaintop experience? I think for them it cemented everything that was going on. This was huge. In the history of mankind, they had been waiting for the Messiah to come. The Israelites had got that picture wrong in their head. They were looking for a glorious leader that would take them out of, you know, oppression under the Romans, that would build them up. They had a good picture. They had a pretty good picture of who they wanted the Messiah to be. But God had even a bigger picture of who the Messiah was going to be. It was God himself in Jesus. And that was revealed in glory to Peter, James, and John. What a mountaintop experience. So Peter, I love Peter. Peter's a man who I could follow. Peter wants to set up shop. And I don't know if there's any of us here that wouldn't want to do the same. How good would it just to be dwelling in God's glory, sitting at Jesus' feet with Moses and Elijah, hanging out with the A crowd. How good would that be? And yet, I don't know how you answered that final question. But it's not what Jesus intended. Revealing his glory to them was not the end goal for Jesus coming into this earth. You know, Jesus could have come and set up shop on that mountain. Could have been the place where everyone had to come and glorify the Son of God, where they'd come and kneel before him and have that experience of God divine. Every knee should bow before Jesus Christ. In his own right, he could have just set up, and that could have been the place where we could have gone and experienced God. We want to dwell in that glory, those high spots. And it's natural. I think God understands that. That's why he gave Peter, James, and John that experience. They had to experience Jesus as the glory of God. It cemented their faith for what was about to happen. Jesus didn't come to set up shop, to be the God that would be worshipped on a holy mountain. The glory of God would go down that mountain. The glory never left him. How the disciples experienced it changed. So Jesus didn't need to set up shop up there because he came for a different reason, didn't he? He didn't come to be glorified on a mountain, but he came to bring glory to all people. God should be glorified and all, with everything we've got. Every knee should bow before God. But God didn't just want his Son to be glorified, but he wanted all believers to find that glory for their lives so that they could come into his presence and be part of that picture of glory. And so Jesus had to come down from that high mountain, from that mountaintop experience. He had to come down and travel to Jerusalem. He'd told his disciples that I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer and die at the hands of the leaders, and after 3 days I'll rise again. The disciples, in the midst of all this amazing stuff happening, Peter's testimony that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, this mountaintop experience, what do you mean? Why do we have to go to Jerusalem? Peter even said that to Jesus, didn't he? Jesus, this will never happen to you. How could the glory of God ever think of doing such a thing? Jesus' reply to Peter, who was just given the testimony that God would build his church on him, said, "Satan, get behind me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but that of men." Jesus would travel to the cross. The glory of God would go and be killed on a torture device. It's pretty scandalous that an innocent man would be killed on the cross. But just think, the glory of God that those disciples experienced on that mountaintop was nailed to a filthy cross and died for us. The one that we should be bowing down and worshipping with everything we have, we nailed to a cross and killed him. This is phenomenal. This should be as scandalous as it gets, that the glory of God would be killed in such a way. But it was part of God's plan. It's not man's plan. Man's plan is we'd set up shop, we'd set those tents up, we'd just sit around basking in the glory. But Jesus knew that our sin was tarnishing us. We'd never be able to experience the glory of God as we should in that way. He had to deal with our sin, and the only way of dealing with it was giving over his glory to death. And in his death, he paid the price for our sin. So now, in his name, we too can share in his glory. It's a phenomenon that we just can't fathom, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that divine glory of God that those disciples experienced on that mountain, would want each and every one of us to shine with his glory. But that's what we have in Jesus' name. In Isaiah 61, it says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and has arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." Jesus Christ was transfigured in glory. He now robes us in that same glory. Each and every one of us that has put our faith in Jesus Christ now has that glory in our lives. If we just think that God's glory is revealed in those mountaintop experiences, then pray that Christ will open your eyes to what he is doing in the everydayness of your life. Because Jesus did not stay on that mountain to be glorified. He came down and walked in our muck. He shared the hope of God with those that he came across. The glory of God was revealed in power and majesty in the everydayness of that journey to the cross. I think for us too, we long for those mountaintop experiences. It does something special in our lives. It cements the Word of God. It brings alive an aspect of our relationship with God. It is special, but that's not where Jesus calls us to remain. He calls us into the brokenness of the world to be his glory. We get to bring that alive, don't we? We get to bring alive the glory of God when we simply forgive someone because Jesus forgave us. We get to bring the glory of God alive in a hospital when we care for someone else that's in a state where they can't care for themselves. We get to bring the glory of God alive as we teach the faith to others. We get to bring the glory of God alive when we are generous with everything that we have, knowing that everything we have has been given to us by our Heavenly Father. The glory of God is in each and every one of our actions as we put Jesus into, as we grow in our likeness of Christ in our everyday life. I pray that God can open your eyes to that. As he opened the disciples' eyes on that mountaintop, I pray that in the everyday he can reveal to you how his glory is shining through you, because you have the hope of the living Son of God in you, and his glory now robes you in his righteousness, you too are part of God's plan for salvation. It lives on in you. I pray that you don't get caught up in the glamour of the world that comes and goes and has no meaning. We have been given the gift of eternal life, where we will get to glorify God's name forever and ever. That picture in Revelation where everyone's just bowing down and worshiping the Lord. What an amazing eternity. That mountaintop experience that we all long for, it's coming. It's before us. And yet, God's ordained us in this time and place to get on with the work that he's given us to bring his glory alive through our lives. Jesus said this to his disciples on the night when he was betrayed. He had a long prayer with them in John 17, and this is just part of it. His prayer was, "My prayer is not for them alone." He was talking about those disciples. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me." That prayer is true. You have the glory of God in you. Let it flow. Let it flow in your lives to the glory of Jesus' name. And I pray that God's glory will keep being revealed in your lives each and every day. I pray that you can have those mountaintop experiences that just cement everything. But I pray that in the here and now, in the brokenness of this world, that you may experience the love of Christ, knowing that he died for you. He gave up his glory, so now that you can live in it each and every day. That's God's gift to you in Jesus Christ. To him be all praise and glory. We're going to sing another song. We're going to go back to that last song that we sung. We're going to sing it. But may the peace of God that passes all understanding guide our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.